welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. To every deacon, amen, amen. To every trustee or steward, if you call them that here, amen. And to you, the saints of God, amen. To this anointed and appointed minister of music, amen. And to this choir, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. I believe that music should enter and usher you in to the very presence of God. Amen. 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 And I was talking with Reverend Pye from yesterday for a little bit. And there's a tagline that says, I'm glad that you got your shout in now. And I'm glad that y'all were smiling and dancing. And see, I don't know about you. When I hear music, I feel good. And, you know, I wasn't a wallflower in the world at the party, but I was the one to do the same old two-step. Yeah. So if you notice me this morning and I don't get a dance, and it's because I can't get my feet together. Hey, don't laugh at that. That's not funny. I've been practicing it. All right, come on. If you brought your Bibles, I pray. I'm going to ask that you would meet me in the book of John, the 5th chapter. And as we read God's holy writ, I'm going to ask that you rest on your feet. Amen. The president comes into the room. Everybody stand up. So God's already here. Come on, stand before his presence. Amen. The book of John, the 5th chapter. And for your hearing, or to read along with, I'm going to ask that you would meet me at the first verse. That's John 5 and the first verse. Amen. And the word of God reads this way. I'm reading from the King James Version. I like thou and thus. Amen. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. Amen. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Here's the blessing, y'all, verse 9. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the day was the Sabbath. You may be seated in the presence of God. And just for a few minutes, I'd like to talk to you about embracing opportunity. Embracing opportunity. Father, we do thank you and praise you for how you fill this place. We give you glory and honor for just being able to sit at your feet today. Lord, I ask that you would move me aside that they may not see me, but only you. Lord, I ask that you would pour out your spirit upon us. Break up the fallow ground of our heart, that the seed of your word might fall on good soil, and that we may be able to see growth. And we thank you, Lord. Consecrate me now to thy service by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast voice, and my will be lost in thine. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. Embracing opportunity. I'd like to give you a little acronym real quick, and it's for the word poor. And for most of us, when we see opportunity, it slips right through our hands because we are poor. Amen. That means passing over opportunities repeatedly. Amen. Some of us, God is trying to get your attention. He's done everything that he can to make sure that you embrace the opportunity that's in front of you. Amen. But most of us tend to put our focus in other places because we believe our healing or our forward movement or our destiny lies in another place. Amen. Since this man was at this pool that had the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, which means mercy or grace. Amen. And in this place, there was a bunch of people who had gathered and they had problems. It sounds just like Sunday morning church. Okay. I got my own church in Norristown, y'all. Y'all can say amen. Amen. As a matter of fact, if any of my current students are in here and I see you and you don't say amen, listen, that's going against your grade. It's no, but listen, look, Sister Carol, look at it, Sister Barbara, Sister Carol, amen. Y'all have to know that there are some of us that come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday looking for a relief or a change in our experience, amen? But just coming to church. See, I wish there was some attendance chart in heaven where you would get blessings or whatever according to your attendance at church on Sunday morning. Amen. My sisters, my brothers, God wants to bless you beyond the Sunday morning worship experience. Lest I put you to sleep. Amen. It says in verse 3, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the movement of the water. Every Sunday, there are people that are filling this place up. And if you could look inside of them, even though physically we're walking and we're seeing in 2020 and we're hearing in stereo and we're walking in balance, amen, spiritually, we're impotent. Spiritually, your prayers are reaching the ceiling and not the presence of God. Amen. 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 Inside, you have disgust and envy. Amen. And evil. Amen. Yup, this is church folk I'm talking about that come to church. Amen. Sunday after Sunday, the same condition. And Miss Barbara, I'm daring to say that the crime is not showing up at church. The crime is leaving church the same way you came in. It's an injustice to your walk with Christ if you come to church not seeking a change. Again, I got my own church to go to. Babe, you're going to have to warm up the car, honey. For a long time, for 38 years, this brother showed up at Bethesda looking for a change. Amen. When he encountered the Christ, though, when he encountered the one who had healing in his hand, he was asked a question. He was asked a question. It was a question put to him. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? And this brother, just like many of us, instead of him saying yes or no, he went right into excuses. Yeah, I can hear you now. I can hear you now right within yourself. You're saying, well, yeah, I did that last night, but God knows my heart. Amen. He sure does know your heart. Amen. He sees the blackness in it. Amen. Blessing. Lord, I want to be whole, but when the water is troubled, I don't have nobody to help me get into the pool. I pray this isn't your plight. I pray that you're not counting on man to get you to God. Y'all don't believe it? Some of us do it. Yeah, we can't pray until our pray partner is available. Amen. Y'all stop playing with me. Amen. Come on. Yeah, we can't go to God until we get with Susie Q. So that's my prayer partner. That's my accountability partner. I can't go to God until I have them on the scene. Amen. Amen. Why didn't you pray about it? I had to wait for my prayer partner, Lord. Amen. Listen, when God asks you if you want to be made whole, your retort should not be an excuse. You should be ready to say yes. He wants to take it from you. He wants to make you whole. Listen, he wants to make you whole, not in part. Amen. Sometimes when we, the song says, this, you know the song, what a friend we have in Jesus. The second verse says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry. Everything. Look, somebody yelled it out. Everything. Some of us just want to be healed in part, but hold on to this. Amen. No, God wants to take everything. He wants to make you whole. He said, I don't have nobody to, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. Amen. Sunday after Sunday, we make up excuses in the house of God while we can hold on to our spiritual impotence. Years go by and the condition remains the same. More of us are concerned with the name being on a pew and our seat in our space. Right, Ms. Vaney. That's my seat. You ever had somebody come in and you sitting in the seat? You ain't know. You just sat down because you're ready to experience the Lord. Amen. And you sat down and they looking at you like this head. Here at Redeemer, they do that. You in my seat. When God gives us the opportunity to be healed, we shouldn't make excuses. Amen. The man had his focus on the pool and not on the promise. See, Jesus is the promise to your life. Guess what? He said, I will never leave you. That's something to jump about right there. Yeah. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. That's something to jump about right there. Amen. And instead of having your focus on the problem that's right now, that's momentary, you need to put your focus on the eternal promise. Glory to his name. Amen. The one that can tell the sea to stop and it obeys. Amen. Come on, somebody. The one that while he's hanging on the cross can stop suffering enough to get two thieves into paradise. That's where our focus needs to be. But oftentimes when we come into the church, our focus is on who's frying the chicken, who made the potato salad, who made the pasta salad. Y'all see, I love food, so that's right where I'm going. All right? Who made this 7-Up cake right here? We need to know that God controls everything. Amen. He controls everything. Even your lame excuse for why you don't want to be healed. Amen. Notice in the scripture that Jesus didn't even talk about him making excuses. He just said, rise up and walk. Get up. Get your bed and go on about your business. Amen. And God has made the call to each one of us. I don't care what your condition is. He's told you to rise up. And you still sit there. He said, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And the scripture says, immediately. I don't think we understand that we serve a God that can do it right now. Yeah, people want to tell you, you got to do this. Oh, you got to do that. As a matter of fact, those that are in my class, the wisdom and poetry books, y'all remember Job's three friends, right? They told him, oh, Job, you had to sin. It was something that you had to do. Amen. And it ended up that Job had to be the one to pray for his friends so that they can be restored. I wish I had a witness in here. When God speaks to your situation, you have got to move. It says immediately he got up, picked up his bed, and began to walk. He was walking through all the other impotent folk. Excuse me. He was walking through all the other people that didn't get the blessing. Listen, God wants to do something in your life today. Don't worry about your neighbor. He wants to do it through you. Too often, we try to compare our experiences to those that we love. And if he did it that way for them, he can do it that way for me. Amen. That's nonsense. God wants to do it the way he has it reserved for you. Amen. Some of us might have to do three backflips, a somersault, and then we'll have our release. Amen. God might just want you to take a step. I wish I had time today. God is ready to move you from lame to walking. Are you willing to get up today? Are you willing not to make excuses? I don't want to hear nothing about, well, I don't think Boo Boo would be too happy with me. Boo Boo ain't got nothing to do with your walk with Christ. And the reason why the church is weak today is because we don't do what the 120 did in the upper room. Amen? They were all, watch this, praying and on one accord. In the house of God, there's too much disagreeing. This is not a place where you get to use your entitlement. Amen. You don't have rights in here. Amen. You are here so that we can take impact from in here and move out there. Somebody's waiting to get saved. Somebody's waiting to see your testimony lived out. Somebody's waiting for the word to work through you. Glory to his name. Coming in here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday with the same nonsense, no purpose, no reason to move. Amen. No. Your intention is not to change. You don't want to grow up. You don't want to be a blessing. You just want to show up to church. Because it's your Sunday to usher. Because it's your turn to be on the choir today. Amen, somebody. Don't thin out on me now. Amen. We going somewhere. Amen. You have to know that when the opportunity is given to you, especially for your freedom, amen, you need to embrace the opportunity. Somebody might say, well, how do I embrace it? Instead of sitting there when the spirit is high, throw your hands up. Cry if you need to. If you gotta shout, look how I'm doing it. Look. I look like a boxer, an old retired boxer, don't I? But when the time comes, you move in the spirit, that's when the blessings come. Amen. Listen, we need to stop saying when praises go up, blessings come down. Amen. I heard my sister say it earlier that God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. Sister Barbara, that's how these things work. When you praise him, God comes down and he takes a seat. And his gifts are with him. So he begins to do this. Ah, glory to his name. He begins to give you what you need. And look, you ain't even asked him for what it was. He just start giving it to you. He just starts sprinkling it on you. Some of us he pours it on. Some of us he splashes. Just like you won a Super Bowl and you the coach. It's dumped on you just like Gatorade. I wish I had a witness in here. Somebody needs to know that when the Lord is on the scene, you need to embrace the opportunity. You need to wrap your arms around the moment. See, some of us come in here and we thinking about next week. We thinking about next month. Amen. We thinking about something else. Our focus is all messed up. Amen. If you could just gather everything in Amen. God will move on your behalf. I swear to God he will. I swear he will. He'll move on your behalf if you would just lift your hands. If you would just say, thank you, Jesus. If you would just say, hallelujah. If you would just expose your heart. If you would just set your love upon him. If you would just exalt him today. If you would just give him glory and honor. Things begin to happen. He goes to your home, speaks to them ignorant children of yours. Speaks to that ignorant husband of yours. When my mother always told me, when somebody do something nice for you, the least you could do is say thank you. If you read after the ninth verse, you'll see that the man was going around because it's a Sabbath day. And Jewish law held that you could not do any work on a Sabbath day. If you did, you was violating the law. Is that right? So here it is, this brother walking around with his bed on a Sabbath day. And the religious folk, church folk. What is he? What is he doing walking with that thing on the Sabbath day? And he had been healed and didn't even know who it was that healed him. You aren't obligated to tell people what you've been healed of. I guarantee you, if you live this Christian thing enough, long enough, there's going to be somebody say, well, how did you? What did you? I used to knew you when you was of a... We have to embrace the opportunity that the Lord gives. Amen, somebody. It is up to us to embrace the opportunity. The Lord is coming to you. He's saying things like, do you want to start that business? And you say, Lord, I ain't got no money. He didn't ask you that. And that's why you can't take all the credit for starting a business, because you know that when the rubber met the road, you didn't even know how to answer. But here it is, you working in this business opportunity that you just simply embraced. Amen. And you know what, Sister Faye, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to take my seat. And y'all can do whatever. No. Listen, most of us, y'all know that song say, I'm so glad. No. And I know Jane Cleveland did. Well, my point is, most of us think we chose the Lord. Oh, I have decided to make Jesus my choice. I have a problem with the song because it's a little empty theologically. Listen, the Bible says that you didn't choose me, but I chose you and ordained you. That's the problem right there. Most of us think we chose him, and we didn't choose him. He chose us. He's called you by name. Redeemer, we need to learn to embrace our opportunities. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Everybody standing. Listen, we can't take it for granted that everybody knows the Lord. Look, we can't even take it for granted that everybody that's been coming for years knows the Lord. Here's how this thing works. Very simply, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, I love it. The King James says, whosoever. I like stuff like that. I like words like that. Whosoever. That means anybody. Whosoever. Anybody. Anybody. You mean the drug addict? Yup. The drug addict? Yeah. From drunkenness to drug use. Whatever the case. The Lord loves you, and he gave his life as a ransom for yours. I know a lot of people, but I don't know nobody that would give up their life in exchange for mine. And I don't know about you, but before Christ, I was a mess. After Christ, I'm still struggling with some stuff. There's only a few in here that are really holy. Next to God. I won't identify y'all because, you know, we won't put nobody on the spot. But the reality is, pulpit to door, ceiling to floor, all of us are messed up. And we need a savior. We need an intercessor. Because here's how it works. He saves you. If you would believe that he hung, bled, and died, rose again, and watch this, is coming back again. Why do we leave that out of the gospel message? Y'all know Jesus is coming back, right? Huh? That's right. It's a part of the message. Amen. He's returning. So if you would believe, he said he would save your soul. And for those that are making the decision, if you know that you're saved, you should be praying. But for those that are pondering and pending a decision, I want you to know that you should accept the Lord not as a fire insurance against hell, but as a blessed insurance for life. Your eternal stance begins the moment you accept him as your Lord and Savior. Don't let nobody tell you that there's this steps that you've got to go through. That's not true. Amen? If that's the case, there's a lot of people who missed New Beginnings class but still made it into glory. Y'all stop teaching people that they got to do this and they got to do that. You have to believe that he hung, that he bled and died, that he rose on the third day from the grave. He ascended to the Father after the 40th day. Amen? And that he is coming back again for a church without spot or wrinkle. That's the truth. Won't you come today? Give me your hand, but give God your heart today.